your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into another edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. It is Thursday, October 29th, 2020, crossover Thursday here on the Locked On NFL Network and on the Locked On Raiders podcast. And if you're a new booty and unfamiliar with what crossover Thursday is, it means when whatever team is up next on the schedule, and for the Raiders, it's the Cleveland Browns, I get a chance to get my Howard Cosell on and talk to the host of Locked On. Well, this week it'd be Locked On Browns. So Jeff Lloyd's going to join me on today's show. And I'll tell you all about today's show after I tell you about today's title sponsor of the show, and that is Pepsi. This football season is going to be different. Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch the season. I like to watch football. I say it all the time. I like to just sit on the couch at the house with the TV on, and I like to go through the Sunday ticket and watch the games. And of course, when the Raider game comes on, I lock in on that game. But man, I really like to just kind of lock in with a minimum amount of people around me just so I can see and pay attention to exactly what I'm watching. But that's not how everybody does it. Sometimes everyone does has a big old party every week, and that's okay, because if you have that party, Pepsi is probably the refreshment that you have. It is a refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers, because, well, let's be honest, Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. Now, coming up on today's show, normally I'll have your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line in segment number three, but since it's crossover Thursday, I'm just going to have my conversation with Jeff Lloyd, host of Locked On Browns, coming up in segment number two and three, and I'm going to do like I did last week where I don't talk about any of the Raiders. I talked with him about the Raiders, and he has that on his podcast, Locked On Browns, but here on the Locked On Raiders podcast, we talk about the Raiders every single day, so might as well just go ahead and get Browns conversation. So you'll hear Browns in segment two and three. You'll hear me get my Howard Cosell on. I like to do it this way every once in a while. I like to switch things up every once in a while. So you'll hear me talking to Jeff Lloyd in segment number two and three about all things Cleveland Browns as, well, the Raiders prepare for their game on Sunday versus the Cleveland Browns, who, oh, by the way, are 5-2 on the season. The Raiders go into the game 3-3. And in here in segment number one, I'll give you the news and the notes of the day, as I always do, and let you hear a little bit from John Gruden, his media session that he had. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. So as the trade deadline gets closer and closer in the NFL, it's going to be Tuesday, November 3rd. That's next week. Another day has gone by in the league when another trade has happened. But it did not happen with the Raiders. I know a lot of Raider fans wanted to see them go out and make some moves and try to get some defensive help in particular. Everson Griffin, he was traded from the Cowboys to the Lions for a conditional sixth-round pick. He was traded on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, one day later, another defensive player, Carlos Dunlap, was traded from the Cincinnati Bengals to the Seattle Seahawks for a backup offensive lineman and a seventh-round pick. So not a lot given up for these guys, and neither one of those guys, I think, are difference makers. Matter of fact, Dunlap is a guy that I mentioned on Wednesday's show that I just would hate if the Raiders went and made that trade for him. So I'm glad that they didn't. I know some Raider Nation was upset. I saw that on Twitter. A lot of people saying, how come you couldn't go out and do that, Raiders? How come you couldn't go out and make that move? Because what are they really going to bring to the table? Not a whole lot. I'm interested to see what Everson Griffin does in Detroit, and I'm interested to see what Carlos Dunlap does, if anything, in Seattle. But those are the ones that went out and made those moves, not the Raiders. A couple notes from practice. According to Vic Tafer from The Athletic, he said, Brian Edwards, who's dealing with a foot and ankle injury, returned to practice in a limited fashion. Arden Key, who has a foot injury, did not participate in practice on Wednesday. Also, Malik Collins, who's dealing with a shoulder injury, Josh Jacobs dealing with a knee injury, Dallin Levitt dealing with an ankle injury, Carl Nassib with a toe, Keyshawn Nixon with a groin, and Sam Young with a knee were all limited action in practice on Wednesday. So that was just a note on some of the guys, the key guys that have injuries and are banged up quite a bit. Also, and you'll hear from John Gruden in just a few seconds, but he did say that he doesn't anticipate Richie Incognito. He doesn't think he'll return this week. He hopes to get Trent Brown back into the facility this week, probably probably on Friday. Damon Arnett, who's on IR, may still be out a week or so. And Bryan Edwards, who did participate in practice in a limited fashion, is doubtful to play on Sunday. So, again, just a little bit nuggets right there from basic injuries for guys that are pretty important for the Raiders. So let's get into some of John Gruden's press conference, his media session that he had on Wednesday. Talked about the Raiders quite a bit, but then also talked about the Browns. And I really want to get to the Browns part, but let's start with the Raiders because, of course, everyone's worried about the defense. I'm concerned about the defense. How is it going to get better? John Gruden said after the game on Sunday that they were going to work on some stuff. Talked on Monday that they're in the lab working on things. So John Gruden was asked, how are things going in the lab? I put that in air quotes, as far as working things out defensively to improve this team.
That's a pretty good way looking at it. The lab, the projector, I should have said, but when you're a coach, you know, you try to act like you're sophisticated, I guess. You know, we had a great meeting with the coaches. We had an opportunity to look at everything that we have done, and we have a chance to really talk about our personnel extensively, and we're going to make some changes, no doubt, with the scheme. How much, I don't know, but you'll see some things that you didn't see last week this week.
Well, he sounded confident that, you know, there's some things that they're working on, that they've figured some things out, and you're going to see some things that you didn't see last week. I just hope to see some fundamentals. I just hope to see some good defense. I hope to see some good tackling. I hope to see a little bit of quarterback pressure, because I don't care what quarterback is back there. I don't care if it's me back there. If you don't get pressure, I could pick you apart. I mean, not really, but still, you know what I mean. It's just, it's got to be better than what we saw on Sunday. So we'll see. It's a work in progress, clearly. Well, one question, and I mentioned it earlier in this segment, was about trades and potential trades. John Gruden was asked, is there any potential trades out there right now that the Raiders would be interested in?
Well, we have to look at it realistically, honestly. I'm not going to get into our position. That's really for Mike Mayock and I and our organization to talk about. We're always looking for ways to get better. There's a lot of speculation out there, but reality and speculation are two different things. We're going to continue, like I said, to develop our players. And I'm not saying a trade is out of the question, but some of the trades that I've seen thrown out there are a bit unrealistic.
There's definitely some unrealistic trades out there, some rumors out there, like Julio Jones, I believe that's unrealistic. Michael Thomas from the Saints, I believe that's unrealistic. Quinnen Williams is probably pretty close to unrealistic as well from the Jets. I would like that, but I think that's unrealistic. I mentioned Stephon Gilmore from the Patriots. I think that's unrealistic as well. But, you know, there's some out there that could be potentials. I would like Quinnen Williams to be a potential, but again, I think because I would like it too much that it's unrealistic. But we'll see. We'll see if they make any moves. My money's on that they probably won't, but again, you never know. I mean, by the time you listen to this, depending on what time you listen to this, they might have already made two moves, so who really knows? But it's going to be interesting to see if they make anything happen before the trade deadline and who they go out there and get. I just hope it's not somebody who's older and doesn't have much time left on their contract. I really rather, if they're going to improve the team by way of trade, go get somebody through that's young and can be on the team for quite a while. So that's just my two cents on any potential trades out there. Now, let's go ahead and skip ahead to talking about the Cleveland Browns, because they are the next team up on the schedule. They're who you're about to hear about in segment number 2 and 3 here on the Locked On Raiders podcast. First of all, Myles Garrett. When you think about the Cleveland Browns, you always think of Myles Garrett. So John Gruden was asked if there's anyone he would compare Myles Garrett to.
No, I don't really compare Myles to anybody. He's unique because he can play right end, left end. He can go inside. He's a complete every down difference maker. And there's been a lot of great players in the past. I try not to get into that profession. I used to do that for a living, but no more.
And I don't really know if there's anyone you could compare Myles Garrett to. He's just a freak on that defensive side of the ball. He's one of those dudes that's just kind of, he's cut from a different cloth. I mean, this guy has been a stud since he was in high school. He was a stud at A&M, but he was even a stud back in high school. If you go back and look at Texas high school football, man, Myles Garrett was the cream of the crop back then, way back then. I mean, this dude gets after the quarterback. He's so stinking strong, and he's really good at doing what Khalil Mack did when he was a member of the Raiders and continues to do now with the Bears. And that's not only sack the quarterback, but sack the ball and strip the ball away from the quarterback. And we all know Derek Carr has a tendency to fumble the ball when arms are waved around that ball. So that's something he's going to have to really work on this Sunday. Ball security is going to be a key. And I'll talk about that on tomorrow's show when I talk about keys to victory for the Raiders on Sunday. Continuing on with the Browns, how about their offense? Why is their run game, and we all know that, hey, that's how they butter their bread is by way of the run game. Why is their run game so stinking good?
You guys have covered the Raiders. You know Bill Callahan is the offensive line coach. He's a great line coach. Had a lot of experience working with him. You're going to see Hunt, and when Chubb is healthy, they have two of the best backs in the AFC and in the NFL. And they know how to use them. They can run the ball inside or out, gap schemes, zone schemes, traps, shotgun runs, you name it. And when they get the running game going, mate, Baker's really hard to stop because of the play action passes and the bootlegs. But I think the running game really stands out. And we all know Baker is really an emerging young quarterback.
And as much as I can't stand Bill Callahan as a head coach, he is spot on. He is a very good offensive line coach. Absolutely offensive line coach. Matter of fact, everywhere Bill Callahan goes, and he's just the offensive line coach, he excels. He's really, really good. If he goes there and is the head coach like he was with the Raiders, not so much. But John Gruden was asked about Bill Callahan. What makes him so successful everywhere he goes as far as the offensive line coach goes?
Well, he's a great coach. He's a great teacher. He's always studying. He's always learning. He's always finding ways to get better. He's got a book about that thick of line techniques. And he knows how to coach a right guard. And then that next day, he'll make that right guard the left tackle. All five of his linemen can play multiple positions. He's a great line coach. He's a great football coach. And I look forward to seeing Bill. And he's got a good young offensive line. And they really benefited by the addition of Conklin at right tackle. And their first-round draft choice at left tackle is quite impressive.
They have done a good job investing in that offensive line. It's been paying off in a major way. It doesn't really matter who carries the rock back there for the Browns. They do a good job. And I'll never forget, obviously, being in Texas, I'll never forget how the Browns just dismantled the Cowboys by way of the ground game. And so the Raiders' defensive line, man, they're going to have a lot of work cut out for them. They've been pretty good against the run this year, but they're going to be tested in a major way on Sunday versus the Browns and that rushing attack. So, obviously, if you're not going to run the ball, you got to throw the ball. Baker Mayfield, he's a question. He's a guy that a lot of people talk about. Now we know that they don't have Odell Beckham Jr. He's out for the season with a torn ACL. So here's John Gruden talking about Baker Mayfield. What has he done this season to help the Browns be so successful?
Well, I think, number one, the Cleveland Browns generate turnovers. They've generated 14 turnovers from their defense. And you can put the yards per game, and that, you can talk about that stat all you want. They have set them up with good field position at times. And they can run the ball. And those are two great ingredients. You know, getting the ball in good field position and running the football. But this guy's an excellent quarterback. And he's proven he can play in anybody's system. Oklahoma, he had a different system last year. He's got a different system this year. He's playing under the center more than I've seen him in the past. But this kid can play. And he's a great competitor. And what I love is when the game is on the line late, it brings out the best in him. He's fun to watch, too. He's got a style of play that I like.
So there's John Gruden right there talking about Baker Mayfield, but he brings up two elements of the game that are really, really important and something that we've talked about on the podcast many times the Raiders need to do. Be able to run the ball really well and create some turnovers on defense. You don't have to stop them all the time, the other team all the time from getting in the end zone or getting up and down the field, but every once in a while you got to create some turnovers. And talking about the Browns creating 14 turnovers already, that's setting your team up for good field position each and every time. So that's what John Gruden had to say about, well, not only the Raiders, but had to talk about the Cleveland Browns in pretty good length in his media session that he had on Wednesday. Coming up next, part one of the crossover edition, talking all things Browns. Myself and Jeff Lloyd, I get to get my Howard Cosell on. It is Crossover Thursday here on the Locked On NFL Podcast Network, so you'll hear that that conversation, part one of that conversation, coming up next. Before we get into that, though, I want to tell you about one of the great sponsors that I tell you about quite a bit here on the Locked On Raiders Podcast, and that is RockAuto.com. And the reason I really enjoy RockAuto.com and love talking about them is because they're a family business. Just like the Raiders are a family business, RockAuto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto part customers online for 20 years. You can go to RockAuto.com, shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers, and they got everything. Engine control modules, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, new carpet. It doesn't matter if you drive your car every single day to work, to school, wherever it is, or if it's one that you roll out the garage on Sunday and just make sure that you're, you know, fixing it up, trying to get it so you can ride it down the block, you know, ride it with the homeboys or the homegirls. Either way you look at it, they got parts for every single kind of car
imaginable. RockAuto.com catalog is unique and super easy to navigate. All the parts available for your vehicle. You choose the brands, you choose the specifications, and most importantly, you choose the prices you prefer. That's right, the prices. At RockAuto.com, they're always super low and the same for professionals as it is for do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, and while you're there, there's a little box that says, how'd you hear about us? Make sure you write Locked On Raiders Podcast. That's how they know I sent you. Great selection, great low prices, all the parts your car is ever going to need. RockAuto.com is the spot. Segment number two in part one of the crossover edition with Jeff Lloyd, host of Locked On Browns. That's coming up next.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast, but part one of Crossover Thursday. This is when I get the opportunity to talk about the upcoming team on the schedule, and that is the Cleveland Browns. So we're going to get into all things Browns and Raiders as I talk with Jeff Lloyd, host of Locked On Browns. And Jeff, we definitely appreciate your time. Looking forward to the game on Sunday. And the Browns are finding ways to win the games. 5-2 on the season, have had to overcome some challenges, and one big challenge that they had on Sunday, last Sunday, was the fact that Odell Beckham Jr. went down with a torn ACL early in the game. But like I mentioned, the Browns were able to find a way to win that game, a shootout over Cincinnati. How big of a challenge moving forward is that, not having Odell Beckham Jr.? How big of a struggle is that going to be for Baker Mayfield and this Browns team moving forward?
Look, it's a difficult loss. And for me personally, look, Odell is one of my favorite players in the NFL. And, you know, having him come over here from the Giants as I'm hosting this, you know, covering the Cleveland Browns, it was just this exciting, this awesome just to have. But then you see an injury like this, and the play itself was so old school Cleveland Browns. Baker threw the interception, you're starting centers down, Odell's down, and it was just like, you know, a rip your hair out moment. But what came of this moment was Baker Mayfield. Everybody's had success, you know, at times this year for the Browns. Myles Garrett, Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb. Everybody's kind of had their moments, even Odell against Dallas. The one who never really had a moment or a game was Baker Mayfield. And even that first quarter, 0-for-5 with an interception. And it was kind of a rally the troops moment. And the only way you're going to do that is through your quarterback. And Baker, the one thing after Odell went down, is look, 2019 was a little foggy. 2020's been a little foggy. But his rookie year, Baker Mayfield took his drop, found the open man, and delivered it. It didn't matter if you were wide receiver one, wide receiver six, tight end one, tight end four. It didn't matter who you are. And so while it's said, you know, and look, it's obviously a lot's going to be determined here as we go on further. The question is going to be is Baker, without having that true number one talent, is it maybe better for him? And we'll see. Look, there's going to be times where this team is going to Odell a ton. There's no way around it. But they have deep, deep skill positions. Look, they didn't have Austin Hooper Sunday, and they still got three touchdowns. They are deep at the skill positions. Maybe this simplifies things for Baker a little bit, where you don't have to say, you know, in the old Randy ratio back in the day with Randy Moss, like, look, you got a horse, man. You want to make sure you're feeding them. Right now you don't have the horse, essentially. So does it maybe slow things down and get Baker away from trying to make sure, and, you know, I'm not missing Odell on a certain play because I know what he can do, and obviously any time he can take one of the house, 65, 70 yards. There's going to be times where you're going to miss him, though. There's going to be teams with really good defenses where they're going to say, we're going to take two guys and take Odell away. But what happens when they don't have to do that? That's going to be something different that they're going to have to go through. Obviously, a lot to be determined on that. But look, Rashard Higgins had two touchdowns going into last week's game, 6-for-110. Donovan Peoples-Jones, maybe this is a little bit earlier than they wanted to play him, but the athletic profile is there. He's now the biggest wide receiver they have. He's now the most athletic wide receiver they have. They're going to play it out and see what happens. There's going to be times you're going to miss Odell. But maybe it isn't as catastrophic as some people want to think it is.
Well, let me ask you this, because that is one of the conversations that I've been hearing going on nationally is, you know, is Baker better without Odell? And it's hard to even think that any quarterback would be better without that dynamic wide receiver. But the way you broke it down, you know, makes a lot of sense, and it kind of gives a little bit of fuel to the argument, at least. But if there's a question, if a certain quarterback is not as good with a big-time wide receiver, when do we start looking at the quarterback like maybe he's not really the guy that we all thought he was? Is there any questions about Baker Mayfield being the guy in Cleveland, or is it a no-doubter that he's the guy?
For me, I'm not planting a flag either way on this.
Okay.
Yet. And look, and the other thing is with the mistakes and some of the interceptions, this team is still 5-2. So, right. I mean, I don't know how you look at this and with a new head coach, a new system, with everything that went on with COVID, how do you say, all right, well, you know, we need a new quarterback next year? Do you maybe explore having a stronger second option? They have Case Keenum here. He knows this offense pretty well.
Right.
It's not really been a thought other than Pittsburgh. And look, I don't want to use the injury as an excuse. He didn't play well. Nobody played well. Nobody played well in Pittsburgh. Nobody did. So, yes, while he was in there with banged up ribs, maybe getting him out was the best idea. But I do believe when you get to the second half of the season, you're going to view this Baltimore game the second time. You're going to view this Steeler game the second time. And they're going to carry a lot of weight. There's no doubt about it. But I don't think there's a decision to be made either way yet on Baker Mayfield, just due to the fact that, look, you've got to base this on 7 games. Right. That's it. Whatever's going on with the Browns right now, they're not basing it on 19. They're not basing it on 18. He's been their quarterback for 7 games. They are 5-2. This is completely unaccustomed to them to be like this, to be winning like this, and where they're at. Home game on Sunday could be 6-2 headed into the bye. I think everybody wants to just jump to that. And then, of course, now, because and everybody gets so star-filled, you know, and especially with Odell Bell, oh, well, let's go get Adam Thielen. No, let's go get Amari Cooper. I mean, like, everybody just wants to jump to, like, the no, this team tried to build a strong 53. So, God forbid, if somebody got hurt, they were able to, you know, cover it. And I think they feel they're okay. There could be some simple moves, simple tweaks, somebody brought in, whatever. I don't think it's going to be anything major at the wide receiver position. But I think everybody wants to talk about that with Baker Mayfield. They're not understanding the fact that this is a brand new regime, and they're viewing Baker Mayfield as a 5-2 quarterback right now. Granted, not perfect.
Right.
And yes, he did beat up on the Bengals. And look, and everybody doesn't want to count that. They play the Bengals twice a year.
Right.
He better beat up on the Bengals. If it's 2 easy wins, you better get it. Yes, he's 5-1 against the Bengals in his career. I don't understand why that's a bad thing, but some people want to use that as a detriment to Baker Mayfield, which I will never understand.
No. I mean, hey, you beat whoever's on your schedule. You play whoever's on your schedule. If you got them twice, beat them twice, play them twice, it's all good. That's not a bad thing. And again, that division that the Browns are in, the AFC North, man, that's a tough one. You know, 3 out of the 4 teams are really good, and Joe Burrow looks like he's going to be a real deal player. So Cincinnati at some point is going to get good.
Outstanding.
Yeah, exactly. But it's going to be a 4-dog race at some point in that division. But right now, Cleveland, like you said, hanging tight, 5-2, looking really good. Kevin Stefanski, you mentioned him. Obviously, he's a rookie head coach. Had a no off season really, hardly any training camp. This whole COVID-19 has been squirrely. But what have you seen in a small sample size, obviously, that Kevin Stefanski has brought to the table, what he brings to the table as the head coach of the Cleveland Browns that obviously they didn't have in the previous regimes?
He's the same person every day, and this is the most refreshing thing. It's there's never highs, there's never lows, and even you know the Browns had their and it was Sunday and all it was one of the last Sundays in August. The Browns had their little COVID scare of a whole bunch of you know false positives. Coach Stefanski was one of those guys, and the way he spoke the next day, and you know, and look, media is always dumb. Were you scared, thinking maybe you have COVID? I got 3 kids. Yeah, maybe I was pretty scared that maybe I have COVID. But, you know, and like just the way he talks about it and comes in every day and just the way he talks. And I think one of the biggest things and, you know, and look, with Coach Stefanski being the age he is, obviously he's, you know, very into and having 3 young children. He's very into the world and wanting everything to be balanced and everybody to be treated fairly and equally. And when he went to his players and said, look, you all can speak up on whatever you want to speak up on. I want you to use your platform. I want you to use your voice. And I think that was a big selling point to this team. And I don't believe it was like coach bravado. He truly believes this. And, you know, he wants, you know, he's been around athletes his entire life, a former athlete, his father, obviously part of the Detroit Pistons. He He's been around sports his entire life. He knows the key to it is to have everybody in that locker room understanding that everybody respects and believes in each other. And I think the other thing where he's really, really been together is his game day. Freddie Kitchens last year, I mean, would get caught up with the officials, would get caught up with replay officials. Well, can we review that? No, we told you we can't review that. Well, if I throw a flag, can we review that? Meanwhile, you got people on the field. Oh, let's go, let's go, let's go. And Coach Stefanski, look, good or bad, whatever play happens, he is there, play sheet in hand. And this is one of the funniest things. I wonder if coaches are going to start wearing masks a little bit more, even after COVID, because you want to know what? All these years, remember everybody with the play sheet over the face and trying everything now? Well, why don't you just wear a gaiter? This way nobody's going to read your lips. I mean, it could be something simple that people actually revert to. But I think the thing with him is consistency. And it goes from him, Jabari. It goes to Paul DePodesta. When they all speak, it's all uniform. It's all the same. Nothing's too high. Nothing's too low. We try to win on Sunday. We try to win on Sunday. We try to go 1-0. This is the same rhetoric we get week in, week out. And it's so refreshing to hear as opposed to somebody trying to, you know, hopefully somebody makes a t-shirt type of stuff, which has been the case around here for a long time.
So there's part one of the conversation right there. Myself and Jeff Lloyd, host of Locked On Browns, coming up in segment number three and part two of our conversation. Going to continue on talking all things Browns here on the Locked On Raiders podcast. Before I get into that, though, I do want to tell you about the title sponsor of today's Locked On Raiders podcast, the crossover edition, and that is Pepsi. This football season is going to be different. Pepsi's here to get you ready for game day. And it does not matter how you watch football this season. Doesn't matter if you got 15 TVs at the house or 15 TVs at the sports bar. It does not matter. Pepsi is a refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Passionate fans, they're the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. Segment number three is on the way, and part two of my conversation with Jeff Lloyd, host of Locked On Browns, as we continue with our conversation here on Crossover Thursday on the Locked On Raiders podcast.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast on this Crossover Thursday. Talking Raiders, talking Browns, talking with Jeff Lloyd, host of Locked On Browns, as we prepare for the game on Sunday. The 5-2 Browns, the 3-3 Raiders. And we talked some things about the Browns in segment number two. Talked about the offense. Going to continue with the offense right here and then jump into the defensive side of things for the Browns. And first up, want to talk about that offensive line. The running game is doing a really, really good job. And it just looks like that offense the line really likes to block downhill and got really a three-headed monster when it comes to the run game for the Browns. What are your thoughts on just the run game and how it goes for Cleveland?
It is actually funny because we really felt that the offensive line was going to be good. But once, you know, the whole COVID and everything started, it was like, well, when will they actually start to gel?
Right.
It pretty much that came without much of an issue. And it's pretty funny to say that Wyatt Teller, who the Browns traded for last year, you know, late in the summer, and didn't get to play till about week 8 or week 9, was and is the Browns' best offensive lineman at this point. You knew when you signed Jack Conklin, you were investing in an offensive tackle. You thought he was going to be good, and he has been. You drafted Jedrick Wills at 10. You figured, you know, maybe there'd be some bumps in the road. He's played better than that. You'd already had Betonio. You already had Shredder. Great players. Wyatt Teller, just been the best of this bunch. And look, they're blowing people off the ball. There's no way around it. And part of Baker's success on Sunday, and I will not deny it, is the fact there was nobody near him.
Right.
I mean, you know, and he was quick with getting the ball out. But, I mean, literally, he could have made a sandwich, ate half of it, thrown the ball, finished the other half. I mean, that's literally how, you know, free he was in the pocket on Sunday. But Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, just Nick's thick. He's fast. And when you're running this wide zone and you're creating cutback lanes, if you're a linebacker and you're strafing down, you don't want to deal with Nick Chubb in a cutback lane because right. You want to know what? You put your arm out there at 230 pounds, you might lose your arm because that's how fast he's running. That's how big he is. Kareem, I think the biggest thing with Kareem is when he's on the field, defenses don't know what's coming because he is so good as a receiver. You can't just say, oh, all right, they're probably going to run the wide zone here because they will do anything. And the next thing you know, he's in the backfield, and guess what? He's split out wide. So now everybody's scrambling. And it won't be this week. Hopefully it should be after the bye when Nick Chubb comes back. And they've definitely, you know, hurting a little bit, losing, you know, Nick Chubb. And, you know, just having Kareem Hunt, we thought after the Dallas game, maybe we see a little bit more of D'Ernest Johnson. Maybe that's more of a statement about, you know, where Dallas is at right now. And he really just hasn't gotten the opportunity, but maybe that was partly because last week, you know, they were in a shootout with Cincinnati, so they really didn't have the opportunity to run the ball like they wanted to. But these two guys together, and you're talking about, you know, Kareem Hunt obviously led the NFL in rushing in 2017, was on pace to do it in 2018. Nick Chubb lost the 2019 rushing title on the final Sunday. I mean, you're talking about two guys that could easily put up 1,500, 1,600 yards themselves.
Right.
But combined, but when they get on the field, it gives them the ability to close out games. It's just a fun, fun duo. They're certainly diverse. You know, Kareem is more like the guy you wouldn't want to have to chase after if you were playing tag, whereas Nick is never the guy you want to meet in the hole.
Looking at the Browns defensively, Myles Garrett obviously is going to get most of the attention. He's the guy everyone talks about. You mentioned early in the show, 9 sacks. The Raiders only have 7 sacks as a team, but Myles Garrett is the dude. Stud when he was at A&M, he's a stud now. I mean, he just is that guy. But as far as the defensive line goes and the other guys getting after the quarterback, the other guys that are pushing the pocket, who is the guy that nobody's really talking about?
I think Sheldon Richardson's played well. It was weird. Porter Gustin was giving some quality reps earlier in the season. And now Olivia Vernon's healthy. Adrian Claiborne's healthy. Seems like they got away from Porter Gustin, which really seems weird to me, because if you really want to go, you know, athlete for athlete, as far as like, you know, how athletic can you get? The only match you've got on the defensive line for Myles Garrett is Porter Gustin. The guy was a freak at USC. It was obviously an odd journey the way his career ended at USC and his beginning days in the NFL. I'd love to see more of him. Only played 3 snaps last week. But Larry Ogunjobi and Myles Garrett, Sheldon Richardson, they're just like a fun duo. Because normally you don't have like two athletic guys, svelter guys in the middle. Normally you have your 330-pound D tackle, you know, and then you have your other guy who's quicker, you know, busting in the holes or whatever. But these guys do it, and they do it well. To be honest, though, over the last couple of weeks, it's really just been Myles Garrett.
Okay.
And this is, you know, and everybody, you know, oh, the safety position, oh, the linebacker position. No, win it up front. I mean, you know, if the Browns were to make a move, if they could get another pass rusher in here, I'd be all over that. Because, look, eventually, and, you know, Myles Garrett, look, I mean, Cincinnati threw the kitchen sink at him, and they lost, you know, a bunch of linemen during that game. So literally they had second string left tackle. And so the running back, tight ends, everybody's trying to chip on Myles Garrett. Oh, he's just a special talent. There's no way around it. And for him to be getting defensive player of the year talk, and a lot of time this exists when your team is kind of good. Like if you're 1-5, it's great that you're really playing well, but right, you don't really get in line for these type of accolades. But where this team is at right now, and obviously what Myles went through last year, it's just tremendous to see, because you know, anytime an offensive coaching staff sits down and they're playing the Cleveland Browns on Sunday, the first point of any meeting is, how does 95 not kill us this week? And now you're talking about all these sacks in a row, all these strip sacks. So you know all these coaches are like, well, we literally tried to say, how can 95 not kill us? And guess what? 95 killed him.
Yeah, you know, and I'm glad you mentioned the strip sacks, because that's something Derek Carr has been a victim of quite a bit. He's fumbled the ball a lot when, you know, he gets a lot of pass rush around him. So that's going to obviously be an area to pay attention to. Myles Garrett is a master when it comes to the strip sack. Really admire what he's able to do. Cleveland definitely got a good one there. If you had a weakness, if you thought that there was a weakness on that Cleveland defense, you mentioned getting another pass rusher, but if there's like a weakness that you think maybe the Raiders, who has a really good offense, can try to exploit it, where would you think that you would find that weakness at?
Tackling. Josh Jacobs getting to the second level. I'll tell you right now, Jalen Richard scares the living daylights out of me. If this game, and I think we both kind of think maybe there'll be a shootout to this, so where you may be talking about Jalen Richard is going to get 7, 8, 9, 10 targets, and he catches those 6-yard hitches, and then all of a sudden he's juke. Like, the open field tackling is not there. And it is the likes of B.J. Goodson. It is the likes of Andrew Sandejo. First couple of weeks and no preseason, like, it's okay to say, hey, this is an issue. These are a couple of problems. Look, man, it's week 8 now, man. We can't be using these as excuses anymore. you know, you cannot let these 5-6 yard completions turn out to be 12 and 13 yard gains. And that's some things that have been really, really an issue. And this is going back since week one. They need to tackle better. Granted, they're playing some personnel they don't truly want to be playing. But look, it doesn't matter. You're getting paid, man. Your job is to tackle people.
It is, absolutely. Fundamental sometimes. Sometimes it's as simple as that, just fundamental tackling. Believe me, the Raiders struggled with that as well. Last week against Tampa Bay, gave up a 3rd and 13, just didn't come up and make the tackle. They were down there playing the sticks. They were playing a little bit too far back, but just didn't come up and make the tackle. And, again, you're getting off the field there, and they didn't get off the field, and, well, it all the wheels fell off the train then. But a couple guys that, well, at least one guy in particular that Raider Nation's very familiar with is playing on the back end of that Browns defense. That's Carl Joseph. What have you seen from Carl Joseph, who comes over from the Raiders? He's on that 1-year deal. What have you seen from him?
It's been a mixed bag, honestly. Right. You know, they obviously drafted Grant Delpit. They had Sheldrick Redwine in-house. He signed Sendejo Joseph to similar deals. Then Delpit goes down. They make the trade for Ronnie Harrison. Carl, you know, had a couple turnovers against the Redskins. I think the thing is, they don't know exactly where to play Carl Joseph right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because without Grant Delpit, and it's weird that they had so much invested in a second round pick at the safety position. And they did, because, I mean, they still talk about Grant Delpit, and the poor kid's been gone for 2 months now. I think they would like to play Carl Joseph closer to the line of scrimmage. The problem is they have serious issues at deep safety. They don't still, 7 games in, don't know how to handle that now. I think they think Ronnie Harrison can do some of that. I think they have some faith in Sheldrick Redwine to do that. But the problem is they're not trusting any of these younger guys with the calls, which is why Sendejo's playing more, and he's playing deep free safety, and it's not going very well. To put it mildly, it's not going very well. But he's out there because he knows the scheme, knows the players, knows the calls. The safety position is a mixed bag of nuts. And where Carl Joseph is right now, what do you think when you're on a 1-year contract? No. Have you done enough to where the Browns would entertain going further with this? I would say, you know, we're talking incomplete at this point. We haven't seen enough of him, and we haven't seen enough of him playing where he should be more comfortable, just because most of it is need. And, you know, it's a disservice to the player, obviously, because I'm sure they had a more role for him to blow things up closer to the line of scrimmage. But you just got to do what you got to do sometimes. But for Carl Joseph right now, it's been kind of a tough year.
Yeah, and, you know, honestly, that's kind of how it ended with the Raiders as well. Good kid.
It's exactly the same story. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. You like him as a guy.
You love the guy when he played.
Exactly. Love him as a player. Just kind of realized that he didn't have a major, major role, and just – It's a tough fit. So when he walked in free agency, it was not a surprise to me. And, you know, to hear what he's done so far in Cleveland is not a surprise to me either. Before I let you go, before we wrap this up, how is Cleveland when it comes to covering the tight end? I mentioned before Darren Waller is a big-time weapon for the Raiders. Obviously, he's like a wide receiver in a tight end's body. He's a go-to guy for Derek Carr and John Gruden. How are Cleveland covering the tight ends?
Not very well. Drew Sample from the Cincinnati Bengals had a day against them last week. Obviously not a great player. Waller's certainly going to be an issue. And where I was getting to earlier, where it was talking about earlier with tackling, that is where you were concerned about Darren Waller. First things first, I don't think the Browns have a linebacker that's athletic enough to run with him. So now you're talking about maybe, is it going to be Ronnie Harrison? And that seems to be a huge, huge question as well. Look, Darren Waller is probably the one. And as far as, you know, Ruggs on those 9 routes, those are the 2 biggest concerns I have about this defense.
Should be interesting. Should be a fun game. Really looking forward to it. Cleveland and the Raiders. It's an early kickoff for the Raiders, but that's okay. I mean, they'll travel to Cleveland to the Dog Pound and check it out. It should be a fun one. It's going to be a cold one. That should be interesting as well. But I look forward to the game, my man, and I'm sure you look forward to it as well.
Oh, absolutely, Hugh. You know this. And look, I mean, for us, for all the work we do, and, you know, to finally, you know, starting to see where these franchises are headed, and, you know, finally seeing that light at the end of the tunnel. Look, I mean, we do this anyway.
Right.
But it certainly makes it a little bit easier to go ahead and fire up and hit that record button when you know these teams are playing a little bit more capable of where they should be.
There it is right there. That was the crossover edition. Jeff Lloyd, host of Locked On Browns, preparing for the game on Sunday. Browns, Raiders should be an interesting one. 5-2 versus 3-3. Of course, the Raiders are traveling to Cleveland to play that early kickoff game, but I definitely believe they have a really good chance to win this game. Really good chance, as a matter of fact, to win this game, especially after hearing about the Browns defense and how they slow down the tight ends and how they struggle tackling. So many thanks to Jeff Lloyd for joining me on today's show, Crossover Thursday. Coming up on Friday's show, I'll obviously give you the keys to how I think the Raiders go into Cleveland, come away with the victory. We'll have more calls and texts. Well, actually, we'll have calls and texts off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, and we'll have news and notes of the day. So until Friday, Raider Nation, appreciate you. Appreciate all the feedback. Appreciate all the support of the show. Take care of yourself. Make sure you wash your hands. Make sure you wear your mask. Social distance. Do what you got to do. And most importantly, Raider Nation, just win, baby.